Then to our first reading, our New Testament reading, to Acts chapter 26. We're reaching the end of this great book. Two chapters today, one Lord willing next week, and then on to the book of Romans. Acts chapter 26, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they sat with them, and when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Excuse me. So I think that the opening of this chapter is very interesting in that the Apostle Paul is given leave to speak for himself, and he calls that a blessed thing. I think myself happy. The word for a happy there is the same word that's used at the beginning of the Beatitudes, blessed. Makarios is the Greek word, and it's the Greek equivalent of that Hebrew word that the Psalter begins with, ashurei, ashurei. Blessed is the man that walketh not, and so on. And so what we have here is Paul identifying himself as a blessed man. We might look at his condition, and we would perhaps look at that with a little bit of consternation. Really, Paul, you did nothing wrong. You've been arrested. You've been held now for well over 2 years. You've been accused of all things by the Jews, who, by the way, seek your life. If it weren't for Claudius Lysias coming in and rescuing you from them, they would have torn you limb from limb as soon as they heard the word Gentile spoken. I think myself happy, he says, blessed, that I am able to give my defense this day. May I say that Paul's concern here is not temporal. The blessing of which he speaks is not a temporal blessing. It is an advancement to his mission. He gives his testimony today before the king of Israel, King Agrippa. Now, we know that this man was not a very trustworthy man, that he was not a very reliable man. He was a sinner, and his marriage is questionable, and all of those things. We know all of that history, and yet he is the king of Israel, and certainly the words of the Lord Jesus Christ have come true, who said, You shall testify of me before kings. Not only that, but he has also testified before Felix before, and now Festus, here, the Roman governor. This is the blessing that Paul is speaking about here. He's not speaking, well, maybe I can get released here. Keep in mind that release is the farthest thing from Paul's mind. He has already made certain he will not be released. His concern here, this blessing of which he speaks, is not at all a temporal blessing. It is the advancement of his mission. And that's why he speaks of being a blessed man to be able to give his defense. He's not talking about legal things. He's talking about the spiritual benefit that accrues to him by being able to testify for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an important distinction to make, I think, as we open up this chapter. And there'll be a lot of that today, so I'm going to warn you in advance. This is a great example to us. In our place and station, we may not be an apostle like Paul. We may not have the encouragements that Paul had from Christ, that you're going to speak to me before kings and you will go to Rome. And of course, in Philippians chapter 1, he'll talk about the witness of Christ being made in all the praetorium. We may not have those kinds of promises. But we do have a command and we do have a promise that when we're called upon to testify for Christ, that we should indeed count ourselves blessed. Same thing here. All right, so then he will speak to Agrippa because of his special position about being the king of the Jews, that he has an understanding of questions which are among the Jews. In other words, he's not speaking to someone who doesn't know what's going on. And a little bit later on, and this I think would amaze many Christians that are alive today, but Paul will look Agrippa in the eyes and he'll say something like this, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest the prophets. Believing the prophets is indeed tantamount to preaching the gospel in Paul's day. It's the prophets that wrote about Christ. There are many New Testament-only Christians today that the Old Testament is a dark and squirrely thing like the ocean. It doesn't make any sense to them. It was the Bible from which Paul preached the gospel to King Agrippa. All right, secondly then, he will talk about his own history, or maybe thirdly, his own history as a Pharisee. And he uses that because the Pharisees had a particular belief that distinguished them from other religious leaders in the New Testament age, and that is that they believed in the resurrection. And it was indeed for the resurrection of Christ that Paul had been arrested and is testifying to it. And so he will draw a parallel between his Pharisaic life, and now he is only continuing to profess that same resurrection into his ministry today. We've seen this before from the Apostle Paul. Remember that he stirred up a fight between the Pharisees and Sadducees before. However, he spoke the truth in that it was indeed on account of the resurrection, that is Christ's resurrection, that he'd been called into account. All right, so then he will defend himself saying that he had once been a persecutor but had been turned by Jesus Christ himself when he appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and that it was at that point that Paul understood Christ himself to be the risen Christ. And this is his main witness to the resurrection. It's no longer, as he intimates here, a resurrection that is future. It's a resurrection that has taken place in our midst. We are so much farther down the road as the way Paul relates it here. Our 10 tribes, instantly hoping for the resurrection, have maintained their faith. But now that resurrection has come. I have seen the risen Christ, and this is what I testify to. Beloved, we can say the same thing. We have the sure word of God teaching us that Christ is raised from the dead. As a refreshment of that, you may want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and hear of the testimony there of the apostle and all that the resurrection has brought to him by way of faithfulness, by way of stability, by way of perseverance, by way of hope. The resurrection is an established fact in the world, beloved. It's not a dream. It's not a legend. And it's something for which men have given their lives. So, he goes through the conversation that he and Christ had, that he has a commission to go to the Gentiles, and that commission trumps everything else that he had up to that point in his life. He's no longer a Pharisee in that way. He is a Pharisee still in that he still lives fairly strictly, but he also has that hope in the resurrection, which was the defining principle of the Pharisees over against all other groups. So then, he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, he says. But he went first to Damascus, then to Jerusalem, through Judea, to the Gentiles, and notice what the apostolic message was, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Right? The gospel message is not God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, or all you need to do is believe in Jesus. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible teaches in a fuller expression in the book of Acts, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Paul emphasizes repentance here, because repentance and faith, those are two sides of that same conversional coin, if you will. All right, so then notice that Paul does not count on his own smarts or strength or his ability to cause a fight between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. No, instead he says, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. And notice that he continues his witness, saying nothing else but what the prophets and Moses said about Christ. He's preaching Christ from Moses and the prophets. So it is at this point, then, when Paul talks about the resurrection of the dead, that Festus pipes up. He's had enough. Festus says, Paul, your much learning has made you mad. Children, I know that that might be a good excuse to move away from your schoolwork. Believe me, children, much learning doesn't make you mad. It doesn't make you crazy. Much learning doesn't do that for you. Actually, when sanctified by the Spirit of God, your much learning can make you holy. It can make you godly. It can make you useful in God's kingdom. So Festus is more speaking from his own aversion to what Paul said than Paul himself actually being mad. We have heard his speech. Did he sound like someone mad to you? No. However, Paul does confess to madness in this chapter. He says, before I was converted by Christ, I was exceedingly mad against his professors. That's right. Same word, same Greek word. Oh, there's a prefix, but it's still the same root word in Greek. And so notice what he says. I am not mad, Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Now, noticing that one has already excused himself from believing, the Apostle Paul will turn to the other. He has a heart for these two men. He has told Festus that he's speaking the words of truth and soberness. Now he turns to Agrippa and becomes very confrontational. King Agrippa, I know that thou believest the prophets. I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost is as far as the natural man is willing to go. We will not turn to the Lord. We will not forsake our our lives that are, we think, governed by ourselves, when in actuality they are governed by the world, the flesh, and the devil. We will not give up our, quote, liberty to turn to Christ. Festus had a lot to lose in coming to Christ. It would have required his abdication. It would have required, perhaps, taking his wife and removing her from him because their marriage was illegitimate. It may have required a lot of things that Festus was not willing to part with. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know, there's nothing else that comes behind that, right? There's not another wave of something to come and convert if you're brought to the edge like that. If you're brought to the very precipice of saving faith in Christ and you say no, and you say that no persistently and pervasively and for the rest of your life, there's not another thing that comes to push you over the edge. There's not another wave. It is only the testimony of Christ. It is only the testimony of the Word of God. It is only the testimony of the prophets. And beloved, if we turn away from that, we turn away from eternal felicity unto eternal torment. Period. End of story. There's nothing else coming behind. And this is why that sin against the Holy Ghost is called an unpardonable sin. It's not unpardonable because you've done something so bad God will not pardon you. No, it is that you've hardened yourself so much against his means of grace, his appointed means, that there's no other means left for you. That's it. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And notice the great heart of the apostle for the conversion of all those that hear him. This should be our heart as well, that all those who come into contact with the gospel should hear and believe. Is that God's intention? Well, we don't know what God's intention is. He hides that from us. And he hides that from us to keep us warm toward his mercy and grace unto sinners just like we are. And so what does he say here? I would to God that thou, not only thou, but all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I wouldn't wish those bonds on anyone, Paul says, but I would wish faith in Christ upon all who hear me this day. Well, we are reminded then of the heart that we ought to have toward unbelievers who come into contact with the gospel of Jesus Christ, who are brought face to face with Christ by his Spirit. Beloved, do you believe the prophets? Do you believe the prophets? Let's not rest in almost. Let's move on to altogether. Right? Knowing that when you move from almost to altogether, it is only by the strength of that Spirit, because we have no such strength in ourselves. And so he gets all the glory, every bit. So then, everything is done. They've heard all that they need to hear to make their judgment. And notice, they consult together, and Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed to Caesar. Well, there's liberty, and then there's liberty. The liberty that Agrippa and Festus are speaking of here is not liberty to Paul. The liberty that Paul has is the liberty to obey the voice of his Lord, to ensure that he goes to Caesar to preach the gospel there. And that's liberty for Paul. So don't worry about Paul. Don't worry about him as if somehow his liberty is being curtailed. Understand the word liberty in its biblical sense, and we understand that Paul is indeed the Lord's freeman. With that then, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.